Which is it for you? Your own busy lives. It will either be a blessing, the busyness we're involved in, or it will be a burden. And sometimes it affects us both ways. I'd like to begin with a couple of what-if questions. Let's suppose that one day this week, your doorbell rings. You answer the door, and surprise! Friends you haven't seen in years just happened to be in the neighborhood, and they thought they'd just drop by for a visit. You're pleased to see them, because these are very special people. So you think to yourself, I should really invite them for supper. But what should I serve them? It's in the middle of the afternoon, so there's not a whole lot of time to plan and not a whole lot of time to prepare. So your mind goes into high gear. Your blood pressure rises as you contemplate what you should do when you were not at all prepared for company to arrive on the scene. How would you handle putting such a meal together on the spur of the moment? Here's a different scenario. You open the door, you find Jesus is there. He wants to come in and he wants to spend some time with you. What would you do then? Well, that's exactly what happened one day for two sisters. They lived in the tiny little village not far from Jerusalem. Our text tells us how they responded to such an unexpected but very special guest. As we study this little vignette, it is soon clear that the two sisters are quite different in temperament. And their way of making Jesus feel at home could not have been more different as well. It also helps to know that this incident takes place toward the end of Jesus' ministry, perhaps about 6 months before his crucifixion. By this time, opposition to him had hardened into open hostility. Martha and Mary, along with their brother Lazarus, who isn't mentioned in this story, lived in the tiny little village of Bethany, located on the eastern slopes of the Mount of Olives. Jesus has now turned his face toward Jerusalem. He's now making his final tour of various towns and villages in that particular area. Jesus rarely spent a night in a home. He didn't own a home and depended entirely on the kindness of his followers for all of his physical needs. I want you to notice how Jesus puts it, though, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8 and verse 20. Here's what he says. Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Even something as simple as a home-cooked meal would have been a treat for him. Here's something else to remember. Back in those days, hospitality meant something more than it means today in our Western culture. To most of us, hospitality means inviting some friends over to, say, watch a ball game and eat some pizza, or it means taking some friends out to a restaurant, or you may cook a home-cooked meal for them if time permits. But in Jesus' day, the safest place to stay was in the home of a friend. That's why it was considered culturally important to welcome strangers into your home, to offer them some good food, and if necessary, a place to stay overnight. In fact, in later years, the practice of hospitality became a key factor in the spreading of the gospel, as itinerant evangelists carried the good news into distant corners of the then-known Roman world. I've already mentioned that Mary and Martha, they were loyal disciples. Need that next slide, Mary and Martha. I think Jesus came to their home because he knew he would be welcomed. It was a safe and a welcome haven from the storm clouds of controversy that were gathering all around about him. Now, a bit about the story itself. There is nothing particularly difficult about it. The words are straightforward. There's no unusual theological problems that occur. Jesus simply comes to their home. Martha reacts one way to his coming. Mary reacts another way. And then Jesus comments on the two different reactions. That's really all there is in this account. Yet this simple story has confused and sometimes frustrated people. Perhaps it has done so because of its simplicity. But there's also an urge to take sides that is almost irresistible. Like, sister was right. Was Martha justified in what she said? Should Mary have done more than just sit at Jesus' feet? And behind those questions are deeper issues involving personal identity and individual preferences, which of course we all have, don't we? So the big question in light of such facts is this: how can we best serve the Lord? To help us answer that question, let's begin by taking a look at how Martha dealt with the matter in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, 38 to 40. Had it read already, but it bears repeating. Now it happened as they went, Jesus entered a certain village. A woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she also had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Do you not care that Mary has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me." I believe the best place to begin is by taking a closer look at Martha herself. Here's my take on her personality. She is generous, hospitable, hardworking, a big project person, a giver, a homemaker, a born leader who knows how to do a meal and how to do it well. If she's demanding nothing of others that she does not demand of herself. She's also quick-tempered. In short, she's a class type A personality. Yes, she's gifted, driven, demanding, and capable of accomplishing a great deal. Before we go any further, though, I want to say this in her defense. Regardless of what else we may think of her, it is clear she loves the Lord and does what she does out of love, not obligation. She respects Jesus so much that without hesitation, she wants to honor him by using her gifts to prepare a meal in his honor. Her motives are pure, even if her attitude is not quite right. So it probably happened this way. As Jesus comes into their home, Martha goes to the kitchen to begin preparing a meal, while Mary stays in the living room listening as Jesus speaks. I think we can assume that his disciples were with him on that occasion. Martha immediately begins putting together a meal from her favorite recipes. She has a servant's heart. He does not begrudge the time or the effort. After all, it's a gift of love to Jesus. But as time rolls along, she ends up trying to do too many things at once. You know, preparing a major meal is a big job and requires time and effort. It requires requires true commitment. You see, meals don't cook themselves. After all, not everyone can sit in the living room listening to the guest of honor. Someone has to be in the kitchen preparing the meal, or everyone will go away hungry at some point. Such thoughts, no doubt, began to go through Martha's mind. I think of any of you who are cooks understand this better than I think the rest of us who are not. It's at this particular point that the true differences between Martha and Mary come into sharp focus. Martha felt responsible to ensure that the meal was properly prepared and served. For whatever reason, Mary did not join her in the kitchen. Maybe Mary just wasn't the cooking type. Whatever reason, she chose to sit at Jesus' feet. It was such a posture and attitude that eventually got under Martha's skin. This kind of thing often happens when taking on a project, doesn't it? We think we're involved in a joint venture where the other person will bear his or her fair share of the load. But then we discover that evidently the other person wasn't thinking that way at all. And we're left to do all the work. Or you maybe thought you were part of a team, only to learn you were not only the captain of the team, that you were the whole team. In those circumstances, it is not unusual to resent others for failing to help out, and it's not unusual to vent anger on those you feel have let you down at some point. When verse 40 says that Martha approached him, the translation actually obscures the force of the original language. We should have the next slide. Which means something like this. Martha exploded out of the kitchen. When she couldn't take any more, she marched up to Jesus. I can picture her, rolling pin in hand, a bowl of green beans in the other. And she said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left all the work to me? Tell her to help me." It's hard not to smile when we read those words, because those of us who have been there, we've all been there, I'm sure, at one time or another. And we said something similar when we felt let down and abandoned by those we thought were going to really be of help to us. The phrase Martha uses here, "don't you care," obviously deserves some special notice. You see, sometimes words mean something different than they literally mean. Example, if someone says, "I don't mean to interrupt you, but," what they really mean is, "I'm going to interrupt you." If someone says, "I don't mean to contradict you," that's exactly what they intend to do. When Martha says, "Lord, don't you care," she really means to say, "Lord, you don't care at all. Because if you did, you would have told Mary to go to the kitchen and help me." Now, doctors sometimes talk about a presenting problem. What is a presenting problem? Well, this refers to the problem that patient brings to the examination room. Patient may complain of a sore throat, runny nose, an achy back, pain in the chest. But it's the doctor's job to look beneath those symptoms to discover the real cause. Martha's presenting problem is very clear. She thinks Jesus doesn't care, and she realizes that Mary won't help either. So she's both criticizing Jesus and she's blaming her sister. Underneath is the real problem, and here it is. Misplaced priorities and misdirected anger. To say it another way, Martha's problem is that she doesn't think she's the problem. She thinks everyone else is the problem, not her. As long as she could blame someone else, she doesn't have to face what is deep in her own heart. Martha is busy, but not blessed. Jesus has come to her home, but she is so stressed out that joy has been replaced by frustration and also by anger. And oddly enough, her desire to serve Christ actually pulls her away from time with Christ. The good, in her case, is crowding out the best. I like what Socrates says, well put. He said, beware of the barrenness of a busy life. It can affect all of us at some point. Now, I think many of us would sympathize with Martha. Here are 13 hungry men who have dropped by for supper. It's a lot of work to be done. The food must be prepared. It must be cooked. It must be arranged. It must be served. And then everything must be cleaned up afterward. At a minimum, this involves several hours of hard work. And every person, man or woman, who has ever ventured to prepare a meal like this knows one irrefutable truth. Food doesn't cook itself. Someone has to wash the roast or watch the roast, and someone has to mash those potatoes. Viewed from one perspective, Martha is just being a responsible hostess. Here's a phrase that accurately describes the Marthas of the world. Weary servants of the impossible. Because they feel the weight of the world on their shoulders, they attempt to do it all, even if no one will join in with them. Now let's look at what Mary does. It's found in Luke chapter 10 and verse 39. Martha had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. Evidently, Mary never said a word when her sister confronted Jesus. That probably was a good idea. What could she say that would have satisfied Martha anyway?
Nothing.
Now, Mary only appears for certain three times in the Gospels. Luke chapter 10, John 11, and John chapter 12. In all three places, she's always in the same place, spending quality time with Jesus. In our text today, she's at Jesus' feet, listening to his every word. Now consider what this means. Sitting. Quietness. At the Lord's feet. Closeness. Listening, attention to his word, submission. Those four words reveal Mary's heart. Let me repeat. Quietness, closeness, attention, submission. She is utterly devoted to the Lord and wants nothing more than to be near him. By the way, listening is hard work. Did you know that? It's not easy to sit in a classroom or in a church sanctuary like you're doing right now and listen carefully for 20, 30, or 40 minutes. Sooner or later, the mind tends to drift off. It's a rare compliment if someone says he or she is a good listener. It's important to be a good listener. Many of us listen only as long as we need to figure out what we're going to say next when our turn comes to talk. Mary was a truly good listener. Did Mary know about Martha's frustration? Perhaps. Certainly she knew her sister well and couldn't have been totally surprised when Martha burst from the kitchen into the living room. Mary's desire to be with Christ far outweighed any desire she felt to help her sister. On this special day, she chose to listen to every word that Jesus spoke. That raises two interesting questions. Who's serving the Lord? Martha or Mary? Both are. Martha is serving him by preparing the meal. And Mary is serving him by listening quietly at his feet. But who is in the better place at this moment? Mary is. She is able to hear what her master says and is ready to respond at a moment's notice. Martha is so distracted that she can't hear much of anything that Jesus is saying. She'll get bits and pieces while she's working in the kitchen. How simple it is to spend time with Jesus or his word. Anyone who wants to can do that. You can do it. I can do it. It's a choice we make. Now we come to Jesus' admonition in Luke chapter 10, 41 and 42. The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." How tenderly Jesus speaks to his frustrated servant. He knows how she feels. He understands her frustration. Even in his words of reproof, I believe there's warmth and compassion in his voice. Martha was distracted with many preparations that had to be made. One moment she's maybe worried about the roast, the next the rolls, the next the dessert, and the next she's wondering why Mary doesn't come out and help her. The word anxious here has the idea of a mind in pieces. And the word trouble means to cause trouble. She's going to speak her mind, and she's going to spread the misery around. Note the contrast here between many things and one thing. See, here's the heart of the problem. Martha was so pulled in every direction that she forgot the reason for doing what she did. Jesus has come to her home that day. There were many things that overwhelmed the one thing that really mattered. The little word "but" is a very useful pause for all of us very busy people. Listen, many good things that occupy us can squeeze out the one thing that ought to be the center of our life. Perhaps an illustration will help. How do you develop a child into a world-class pianist? Or a gold medal runner, or a world-renowned soloist? There's only one way. You must start when the child is very young, maybe only 2 or 3 years of age. That person must decide one thing is needful, and everything else must take second place. It may mean getting up early, practicing for hours every day, week after week, year after year. You see, to be the best, you must give up what others call a normal life, because what you want is not normal at all. The one thing must take precedence over the many things. There's no other way to go to the top. Jesus is saying something like this to Martha. "Martha, you are so busy serving me that you have no time for me to serve you. I appreciate your love. I recognize your motives are good, but your heart is divided. It is distracted. Your zeal to serve me has pushed me to the edge of your heart. Martha, I want to be at the center of everything you do for me. That is far more important than preparing a fancy meal in my honor." How did it happen that Mary was in the better place? The answer? She chose it. Given the same opportunity that Martha had, she chose to go to the living room and to sit at Jesus' feet. Friends, it did not happen by chance. It never does. Listen, you will never end up spending time in the Lord's presence by accident. You must choose to go there, or it will never happen. She chose the important over the urgent, the better over the good, and that is why the Lord commended her. This passage is not about cooking versus praying, or the active life versus a life of contemplation. It's about the divided life versus the focused life. A life of frantic activity versus a life centered on knowing Christ. There will be always plenty of work to do. The work set before us will never totally be done. We will work all our days, and when we die, that work will continue on after we are gone. Now we are right to work. It's important that we work. It's important that we work hard doing what God has given us to do. But listen, work is not an end in itself. Not even work for the Lord. Knowing Christ must come before serving Christ, or else our service will be barren and our hearts will be frustrated. You see, something eternal is cooking in this home in Bethany. Friends, it's not in the kitchen. The meal Martha will serve her guests will soon be consumed and soon be forgotten. But the meal Jesus is serving in the living room will last forever. Therefore, don't miss the one while you're prepared for the other. You may be saying to yourself, must we then choose between Mary and Martha? The answer is no. Both have their strengths. Both have their weaknesses. Listen, if you were on a sinking ship, Mary would say, I'll pray. Martha would say, I'll find the lifeboats. Both are necessary. I love the final phrase of the text where Jesus declares that what Mary has chosen is better and it will not be taken away from her. What she gained from that experience, she would have forever. I'm sure Mary never forgot that wonderful day that she spent at Jesus' feet, drinking in every word. Friends, the one thing we need most is to spend time in the Lord's presence. But you say, what about the meal? Someone has to spend time in the kitchen. True, but Martha could have prepared something much simpler. One thing was needful, it was to spend some time at Jesus' feet. How happy we will be if we find a way to do that on a regular basis. In other words, never let the good crowd out the best. It's easy to lose our perspective when we're serving the Lord. No amount of service for Christ can substitute for the value of spending time in His presence. It is right to serve the Lord, but first we must listen to Him and to His voice. We have the opportunity to do that each Sunday morning when we come here for an 11 o'clock service. We do that when we take time each day to have personal and family devotions. Make sure you put both on the top of your priority list. Our closing song reminds us to do that. The song begins by saying, take time to be holy. Speak off with the Lord. Abide in Him always. Feed on His word. And when you do, your serving will bring joy instead of utter frustration. God bless you as you do.